Every day is filled with opportunities to express yourself. And with an everyday piece from Blue Nile, you can do it without saying a word. Blue Nile's collection of diamond jewelry is the ultimate statement, with sparkle that elevates any outfit. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, their diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to Beyond the Noise, the podcast series from PR Week. I'm John Harrington, the editor of PR Week UK and your host for today. Now, I make zero apologies for returning to one of the biggest topics of discussion in PR today. It seems like you can't move for discussions around AI and its impacts on PR and communications, whether that's the challenges of countering mis and disinformation, the opportunities for creative campaigns, or the prospects of automation. Investment in AI across the industry has been substantial. WPP and Publicis are among the big holding companies to pledge hundreds of millions of pounds in the technology. And I'm delighted to have two guests today from the PR operations of those companies. From Hill & Knowlton, we have Alison Spray, Global Head of Intel and Tech Innovation. Alison joined us on this podcast almost 1 year ago, exactly, to discuss AI. So it'll be fascinating to hear how things have developed. Welcome back, Alison.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
And from MSL, we have Natasha Corries-Coote, who is an account manager and one of the driving forces behind MSL's AI strategy. Welcome, Natasha.
Thanks for having me. Nice to see you.
Great. So before we begin today's podcast, I'd like to give a quick plug for some upcoming PR Week conferences. Influencer 3R60, which examines the latest trends in influencer marketing, takes place in London on 10th of April. There's also PR 360, PR Week's biggest conference of the year, which is happening in Brighton on the 8th and 9th of May. Check out the events section of the PR Week website for more information. Expect AI to be a big theme at both, I'm sure. Okay, so on to the questions. I'd like to ask both of you quite a simple, broad question, really, but what has your agency and indeed, to some extent, your holding company been doing around AI in recent months? There's obviously been a lot of activity, but just be good to hear on a practical basis what's been happening, Alison.
You know, it's been fascinating to watch the step change we've seen this year. I think, you know, both in the interest in the technology, but also its applicability to PR post the advent of generative AI in our conversation, as you say, almost 12 months ago. You know, of course, WPP have been a leader in AI in our industry for a number of years. It's fundamental to our business and the ways that we work. And now WPP are equipping our global workforce with AI tools that are built in-house, which give us greater capacity for creative experimentation and increased productivity and help us to reduce those non-essential tasks. When I look specifically at H&K, we've really taken more of a lease, buy, build strategy. Build is all around how we differentiate our approach. So, for example, we've invested over the past year in building The Fount, which is H&K's strategic intelligence platform. I talked a tiny bit about it when I was here last year.
Yeah.
It has come on leaps and bounds since then. It lets us integrate data, take it through our pipeline and leverage AI to see qualitative data alongside quantitative pieces, which is super exciting. And that's quite the step change from where we were, where I talked about I wasn't sure whether large language models would actually be able to handle the nuance of things like messaging. Mm. And that's actually exactly what we're using it for today. Obviously, in the past year, we've announced our partnership with Pendulum to build H&K Sonar, which helps us to analyze audio, video, and text content and help brands predict and protect against disinformation. So it's been a busy 12 months.
Yeah, no, it certainly has. No, thank you for that. And on a sort of day-to-day basis, obviously you mentioned that technology has been used to help brands counter mis and disinformation, which is great. Are you sort of finding it being used for things like automation, like press releases and all of that kind of day-to-day stuff too? How's that sort of panning out, I suppose?
You know, I tend to talk about sort of four core ways that we think about using AI, sort of how you can make sense of information, how you can extract meaning, optimization and automation, and solving wicked problems, which has to be my favorite phrase from academic literature that I discovered while I was at Oxford. But, you know, making sense is all about that first piece. So how can we use these technologies that are really great at making sense of large data sets, but they're also quite good at small ones? So just to give an example, I asked the Creative Studio, which is part of that suite of tools that WPP has built in-house, to take my full Oxford dissertation on AI and turn it into a 90-second summary.
Wow.
It did that in a couple of seconds. And obviously, it's a first draft. It's not perfect. I had to sit there and work on the tone and how my voice sounds versus how an AI sounds. But that saved me hours. And then you get into the more advanced use cases, like how we can extract meaning, use large language models to understand not just is a spokesperson in the content, but what's the context that they're sitting in? Are there messages that are delivered that they've delivered, for example? That's what we've built with the Fount, the strategic intelligence platform. And, you know, the wicked problems piece, aside from my love of the phrase, I think is just a perennial PR question. It's the kind of thing that we get those ill-defined challenges that just always seem to sit in PR and are one of my favorite things to tackle. You know, it's the how can I help my brand see around corners? And I think that's where the AI that sits behind Sonar is so interesting, because you can actually start to see mis and disinformation where it starts, which is often on audio and video channels and often on the parts of the internet that are a bit harder to access.
Right. Great. Oh, well, thank you. And Natasha, same to you, really. What's MSL been doing, and sort of had a sort of working group on it and that sort of thing? Yeah, tell us about that.
Of course. I think in the last few months, we've definitely been turning up the heat when it comes to AI. I mean, you might have seen earlier this year, there was the big announcement where we were investing 300 million euros in Core AI, which is Publicis's new AI platform. And that's definitely a key sign of this new focus that we're placing on the technology itself. And that is definitely filtering down through to MSL especially as well. And you mentioned this task force. We have been putting together this very passionate band of people within MSL who are incredibly intrigued by AI and very, very curious and are very determined to figure out how we can use the technology and the tools to our advantage to make our day-to-day easier. It's very much like a collaborative venture between us, and it feels like a very exciting project that we're working on, because you hear so much about AI being spoken about in the industry more widely in technology itself, but you always think, well, what does this mean for me, right? You think, so what? So what am I going to do with it? And it's figuring out what that means for our industry specifically, and then helping to be that kind of voice of leadership for people who come into our business and clients who also come to us as well, to be able to provide that authority and credibility to say to them, well, this is what AI is doing and this is why it's relevant for you and this is how we're using it. So yeah, I think there's lots of excitement and buzz around AI, but there's very much like a renowned focus on how we can make this work for us specifically.
Yeah, great. And sort of same question again, really, in terms of a sort of practical basis, how do you find it's being sort of used so far?
Yeah, absolutely. So we at MSL are kind of focused on three main priorities when it comes to figuring out how AI can help us. So at the crux of it, we want to understand how we can use it to increase our creativity. So how can we use various tools like the ones that you have in Adobe Photoshop and Firefly, for example, to increase how we show up creatively to our clients, but then also how we can improve the creative skill set that we have within our team. That's a really big focus for us because we're very, very much a creative agency. But then also data. And you spoke about how you could condense your whole dissertation into 90 seconds, which is just not something that you'd be able to do with a human brain by yourself, especially in that amount of time. And we want to be able to use that kind of principle with big data sets. we are very, very much interested in learning about how we can use big data sets and big reports and industry news and then digest that into a condensed version for our clients, for ourselves, and for people that come into the business as well. So that's creativity, that's data, and then we also have operational efficiency. So there's a huge potential there in understanding how we can make our lives easier and quicker and more efficient day to day in the PR world, especially in an agency. And there are so many different tools and programs that just scratch the surface of what's possible there. And we're trying to scratch at that surface and understand how we can filter those tools and that knowledge down to people who we work with in terms of our colleagues and our teammates. So yeah, great. Definitely a big, big focus for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that. So, I mean, what would you say have been the most common questions that your colleagues have been asking around AI? Because I'm sure they've got a lot of questions to ask. So yeah, what are some people saying?
You know, I think the questions have been pretty wide ranging. So I think that the sort of three buckets you've outlined are really good, right? We can look at creative, we can look at data, we can look at operations. I'd say they often come to me more as the, what do we have access to? How do I access it? And how do I talk to clients about it? Those are the questions that I probably get the most frequently. You know, I think, as I mentioned, being fortunate to sit within WPP, who are providing the workforce with those kind of homegrown AI tools, those secure spaces give teams, you know, really great capacity to experiment safely, which I think is important. And that's part of what gives people a lot of confidence to be able to go and test and play with these technologies. But I think as with, you know, any transformation piece, what I'm kind of most interested in of those three questions is the, how do I talk to my clients about it? Because there's a lot to unpick there. There's the, what is the actual underlying technology? So how do we explain in a way that doesn't require you to actually go and understand the code, but what this technology is doing. And then there's the second piece of what it's enabling us to do, whether that's doing it better, whether it's doing it faster, whether it's doing it with the use of more data than we could have done previously and articulating that value.
And Natasha, what are you finding people are asking?
Yeah, so we actually just conducted a little internal survey at MSL to understand what our teammates were thinking about AI. And you'd think that people were very much like worried about the scaremongering that happens around the discussion about an AI, but we don't really have much of that at all. It's very much what are the tools that are relevant for me, as well as how safe is it in terms of the information that I'm trying to glean from AI? Where is that going to go? Is it going to be used to power and train the AI? And so there's very much like a safeguarding awareness piece that's needing to be done, especially in the PR industry, I think, in terms of what is the right practice to use when it comes to AI and what tools do I then trust and look to be able to make those capabilities possible.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big question, isn't it? And it's almost like when people first started using ChatGPT and all the rest of it, it was kind of just fun and you can see all of these sort of amazing things you can do and it was kind of startling and it was a real-time adventure. And then as things have gone on, that sense of how much can I trust this? What are the implications with copyright? All sorts of IP and other issues come in. So have you found that's been a big issue as well, Alison?
You know, I think with any new technology, we're always going to need to put guardrails in place. And again, you know, this is where WPP has rolled out kind of a series of principles, guidance and legal advice internally to help all 100,000 plus of us make sure that we're doing just that, that we're operating within safeguard rails and being able to give our clients the right advice.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. And it comes on nicely to a question about training. So is there any sort of flesh on the bones you could put on that, really?
So I know we've spoken to you folks before about the Academy, which is our sort of external training offer, but we're actually planning on flipping that on ourselves. So looking at how we can take the core ideas behind how we upskill clients around the use of AI and PR to help our teams better understand what AI is, how we can use it specific to PR, because as you say, I think that's probably the biggest deficit is there's lots of things out there. There are a million podcasts talking about AI. There's a million books and blogs and everything else. That intersection of people who really understand PR and who understand this technology is a much smaller space. So bringing that knowledge to our client teams and also using that as an opportunity to showcase some of the brilliant work that's happening both within H&K, but also across kind of the group more broadly. I think we're also really fortunate to have access to Coursera, which means folks with a more specific need. So for example, within my data intelligence team, we might need them to become really expert in Power BI models, because that's how we're visualizing and analyzing all of the data that comes out of the fount, that AI-enriched data. So having a tool like Coursera, you know, is a great gateway to give people really specific training.
Great. Thank you. And Natasha, how about MSL? What sort of training has been?
Absolutely. There's a lot in the pipeline, actually. We're very lucky at MSL to have access to Publicis' Marcel platform, which has a sandbox, which gives you access to lots of AI tools. So you've got ChatGPT 4, 3.5, but then you've also got kind of other ones that help with image generation and video generation. And that is a really nice playground for us to be able to, especially when we're still experimenting with AI and trying to figure out how to best use it and the best ways to use it, in terms of just being able to plug whatever into there that is client related, that, you know, that is protected by the sandbox and confidential nature of it, and then find those results, be able to refine those results, and then do it over and over again, because it is a trial and error method when it comes to AI. And I think there are also courses on Marcel that help you have a bit of a starter guide to AI, so like how to use Gen AI to produce content that actually is valuable and that you actually do want to take further on. Because sometimes I think there's often a lot of times you put in something into ChatGPT-4 or like Gemini or something, and it comes out with stuff that's not quite ready, and it's a bit rough around the edges, and you do need to go into there and refine it. And I think being able to do that trial and error process within a sandbox that is protected is a really, really, really great playground for us, especially more kind of junior members of our team who are trying to upskill themselves in AI, especially as it's going to be quite important going forwards. So yeah, in terms of training, there's that capability that we're very, very fortunate to have. And then as well as the formal classes on Marcel, which we have access to and are kind of run kind of all the time, we have a very nice and active internal training program. So if there's a member of our team or someone that comes in from externally who is an expert on AI, then they are very much invited and encouraged to deliver a training program that is very well attended by us at MSL, and we're very, very valued. And those are really, really helpful, because it's very much someone that you know or someone that you trust delivering training and information to you, and it's in a way that's very specific to the way that we work and the things that we are doing every day, which makes it just a bit more useful rather than having some more broad generalized talk that, I don't know, someone from like the US or another market might have delivered that might not be super relevant to the things that we do on a day-to-day basis. So yeah,
it's interesting, isn't it? Because obviously if you're going across Publicis or across WPP, there are so many different roles, so many different agencies doing so many different things.
Yeah.
That actually it could just be totally overwhelming, and frankly, some of it probably not directly relevant if you're working on the PR side.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess that's one of the biggest challenges, isn't it? Making it relevant to someone who, let's say, is an account exec or an account manager rather than a creative in one of the ad agencies.
Yeah, for sure. And I think there's a lot of connecting the dots that's to be done as well. And you'll find this, Alison, across WPP as well. You've got so many experts across the whole business, and it's all about utilizing those connections to spread the knowledge and spread the love, I guess, when it comes to AI. We're trying to do that at Publicis especially, and there's a couple of key figures that we are leaning on who are leading that AI kind of revolution, and we want to bring them in and get them talking to us.
Great. I mean, inevitably, sometimes when you talk to staff about these things, there are going to be those concerns about, will this affect my job? Is my position safe? And I know it's a difficult conversation to have, I'm sure. And it's also something that we've been talking about for a long time, you know, in relation to the comms industry. But nevertheless, it's still a question I'm sure people do have sometimes. I mean, how concerned do you think staff are at the moment about this? Is it seen as something that could be on the cards, or that actually nobody's really thinking along those lines, or is it simply too early to say when it comes to things like this?
Surprisingly, in our survey, it wasn't as big of a sentiment when it came to like overall trends within how people are feeling, which honestly surprised me a little bit because of the massive discourse that you hear about AI and it taking our jobs. I think people were more confused about how they could use it and how they will be interacting with it as part of the industry and as part of the workforce. And it's quite a nice optimistic outlook that I think kind of changed my perspective a little bit, because rather than the doom and gloom, oh, what's going to happen to me? It's more of a, oh, how can I improve myself with this revolution that's coming? I think that AI will mark a change to our jobs. And this is something that's reflected across MSL as well, in terms of, rather than being a replacement for personnel in the industry, it will have a huge influence in how people interact with the skills that they develop within PR. So you'll have AI doing a lot of the work, like writing a lot of the copy and producing a lot of the content, but you'll always, always, always need those guardians of quality that refine the content that AI churns out, that makes it more applicable and more relevant and more specialized to our clients, that makes it more interesting for the news world and the industry that we're working in. I don't think AI is particularly an expert in that. And I think being a guardian and being someone that's able to critically review work that AI has produced is going to be incredibly important. So if anything, it's not going to replace us. It's just going to make us even more skilled at our jobs because we have to be more critical.
Yeah. Makes sense. Well, it's a nice way of looking at it. And I guess if people feel ignorant about something, then they're going to be more frustrated, aren't they? And once people get used to things, it's probably a case of, you know, things seem a bit less scary. Mm. So I imagine there's probably some of that.
Yeah. And I think the more that you talk about it, the more it's become normalized and the more people get used to it. Mm. As you said, if people get scared, then it becomes a little bit less productive and a bit more counterintuitive, and you want people to be comfortable with it. You want people to be able to see it as a tangible thing that they can use for themselves and to better their career, rather than something that's going to sabotage it or damage it at all.
You know, I agree. Anecdotally, I'm hearing similar. And I guess the thing I would underline is, you know, the challenges we face aren't unique to us in the PR industry or our individual agencies. This is a global and a historical moment that we're all living through. You know, I do think the quality of our responses in the moment continues to make us a standout partner. You know, I look at how we're focused on enabling our people with the right tools and training, you know, how we provide the right access to technology that augments their work. Because as you say, it's not just about kind of doing the same thing faster. It's how do we actually leverage this so that we can take away some of the work that actually you don't need a human to do, that perhaps a machine is better suited for, and leave us to do the critical thinking and juxtapositions and all of that piece, which actually machines aren't so great at. And how do we get to a space where we're focusing on augmenting our work to deliver even more standout creative to clients? Because, you know, as we look forward, I think it's that sort of expertise, the strategy, coupled with deep technical fluency, that's going to be critical to navigating a shift of this scale. And that's really what we're here to provide. And that's both to our clients, but it's also to our people. I think we have a duty to both.
Yeah, absolutely. And just an aside point about creativity, actually. I mean, maybe this is an unfair question, but what the hell? I mean, what sort of proportion would you say kind of creative campaigns use AI in some form from, let's say, H&K and MSL, or indeed if you wanted to go WPP and Publicis? Do you have a sort of a sense of where we might be with that at the moment?
If we were looking at it in the full spectrum of possibility of that answer, from everything from ideation through to creation, probably most. Mm. Because if I look at the work that we're doing across certainly H&K or WPP, you know, AI sits across kind of each of those different pieces. How and where we use it is going to be very dependent on what is the ask, what is the creative strategy, what's the implementation, and also what is our relationship with clients, because there are still clients who don't want us to use AI, and obviously we respect that, and then there are others who are embracing the technology and looking to us to lead them forward. But yeah, I imagine if you look across the spectrum from collecting data to get to insight to get to creative strategy, particularly that piece, most are probably using some form of AI, or at the very least machine learning at this point.
Interesting. Thanks. Yeah. Natasha, have you got the same sort of experience?
Yeah, I definitely echo that in terms of the ideation of it. Is there is a big AI helping hand that is involved there. As I said earlier, there's so much data and there's so much insight to sift through. And if you want to be able to represent the full picture, AI is, there's no way that you can't use AI to be able to represent that full picture. I think when it comes to the more practical execution elements of creative campaigns, I think it depends on who you have on your team. I think there is a level of uptake when it comes to AI tools where people might not necessarily feel comfortable with using the technology to produce work that would be as good, if not better, than they would be able to produce themselves. And I think we're very lucky to have some people on our team who are very skilled at using AI to our advantage in terms of producing lots and lots and lots of great kind of mock-up images that help progress creative campaign ideation and what that looks like with the clients, because if they can see it, then they're obviously more likely to be able to visualize it and see how it's going to come out at the end. But I wouldn't necessarily, from our perspective, agree with you, Alison, in that the AI is encompassing most of the journey from start to finish. I think, yes, in the beginning with the data and the insights and understanding what the idea is, but when it comes to execution, I think there's AI is still very much seen as a rough and ready model. You can use it to help you, but it's not going to do the work for you. You still have to put the work in, put the creative idea in, and I think that's not going to change anytime soon. I don't anticipate that becoming significantly better to the point where we can just plug our brief into an AI and they're going to churn out like a final ready model. I don't think that's going to happen. I think you're still going to have those people who are integral to the process to be able to act as guardians for those ideas.
Yeah, to be clear, I completely agree. I'm not in a space where I think we're seeing huge swaths of the creative process replaced or even augmented by AI at this point. It's more a question of if it's across the full spectrum, then probably it's most. Yeah. If we're looking towards the latter half, then I suspect that proportion would be an awful lot smaller.
Yeah. But then you've got reporting as well. That's, I imagine that you'll also see lots of AI involved in reporting. There's so much out there when it comes to like news generation and also how things are picked up on social media, that for one person, one pair of eyes to trawl through, or even a team of eyes to trawl through the masses and masses of posts that you have that might mention your client's name, it's too much. And so you need AI. And I think we're quite fortunate in the PR industry to have a lot of tools available to us that do that trawling for us. And I think when it comes to clients seeing the tangible benefits of AI, that's one of the touch points where I'm seeing a lot of direct client feedback when it comes to how they interact with AI, because they're able to see results within a day of the campaign going out, and they're quite visible, they're quite tangible, they're quite accurate results when it comes to what does this campaign look like in the world from social, from press, from owned, for example.
Interesting. Yeah. Have you got any thoughts on that sort of measurement debate as well, and how AI is maybe helping with that?
Yes, in addition to my day job, I sit on the AIRMEC board thinking about how we do best practice measurement and communication. And yeah, having spent the past 12 months largely building the Fount, which is in part feeding our approach to measurement, I think you're completely right and spot on, Natasha, that a lot of our clients have really seen and been introduced to AI in a tangible way through third-party tools, things like Signal or Brandwatch or Quid, or I'm not going to try and list all of them, so
there's
apologies if I've missed you out. But you know, there's just so many tools there out in the marketplace, and there's that sort of base of the complexity triangle, if you will. Then you get into this middle space where you've got tools like Conversion, which I think I talked about maybe last year when I was here, which allows you to custom build models. So if you wanted to just be able to pick out certain content that kind of a basic AI is not going to be able to do for you, you can custom build models that will help you to do that. And then you have purpose-built systems like the Fount. So a long-term ambition of mine to get us beyond sort of counting clips and volume and reach figures and actually into a much more nuanced conversation about what does that campaign look like, as you say, and what can we actually do to further optimize it. And that's what's so exciting to me about seeing the Fount come to life now as we head into 2024, and see not just how many people have kind of been exposed to an article, but how many people shared it, what kind of messages came through, what spokespeople are there. I think having that level of granularity literally the next day is a real game changer for us in PR, because it's the kind of thing you get when you work in media buying, where you can really see live what's happening with a campaign. It's been much harder for us to do that in any way that's not anecdotal. Mm. So getting to a space where we can start to leverage these technologies, again, systematically, I think is what's going to be the real game changer for measurement.
I think it's going to really change the game when it comes to how we measure in PR. Because before, traditionally, we have just taken, I don't know, reach as kind of like a figure that floats in the air sometimes and is based off like quite a traditional model. But when you start to be able to show how posts are shared, engaged with, commented on, liked, how articles are shared, commented on, I think you'll then get a shift in perspective where we'll be focusing more on actual, tangible, provable engagements rather than the hypothetical ones. And I think that's a big thing where AI can really influence how we operate in the space.
Great. Well, it's so good to hear it's kind of having that sort of impact on such a crucial area, let's face it. So that's brilliant. Let's talk about clients now. I know we've, you know, obviously discussed a little bit earlier on, but what in general do you think clients are saying about AI? Do you think any of them are sort of demanding action on AI, or some of them kind of apathetic, some of them confused? What's the sort of temperature, do you think, of clients when it comes to the tech?
You know, I think everyone's at their own point in the adoption curve right now. And whether that's sort of data, technology, AI, all of those things, everybody's sort of making their way along. The questions that I'm seeing from clients really range from the desire to upskill their teams and what the technology encompasses, through to kind of really specific questions around how could I best implement this custom trained model that we've created. So it really is a pretty broad spectrum. You know, I think within that context, you know, our role as agencies is to help clients navigate that landscape, and as we've talked about, to do so responsibly. One way that we're doing that is through the Academy, which is our training offer really designed to upskill communications professionals throughout their career. And that very specifically came out of a demand from the comms industry for people seeking training in latest thinkings and practices and trends that are transforming how we work now. And unsurprisingly, AI is at the forefront of that conversation. So we've created, you know, different custom models. It's not a set of things. It's custom models that we roll out for clients depending on where they are in that adoption journey. And that might be an understanding of the technology rooted in PR, because as I say, I think that intermeshing of those two disciplines is really important. Two, thinking more strategically, like how we might implement the Oxford 4Cs for AI readiness. So how can you help a business gauge how far along they are in that journey and where specifically they might need to boost their capabilities?
Interesting. Yeah. And are you finding similar things in Sasha?
Yeah, I would echo what you were saying about custom models. We have the MSL Bridge, which is a model that we share with clients that helps develop more kind of accurate insights from the myriad of different results that you find when it comes to kind of new generation social insights and stuff. And so we're able to kind of glean saliency and what belief is for our clients in that way. And we're able to tailor that. It's a very custom, very similar to, I think, how you do it for what the client wants across different markets, across different types of measurements. But I think kind of more tangibly in our day-to-day, we're seeing clients really get quite energized about AI, especially when it comes to being able to see things that would normally take, I don't know, like a week's worth of resource with our creative team to be able to develop. You can kind of amend as I said earlier, like a mock-up to show them what's something that we've discussed in like a brainstorming meeting. Well, we can show them what that looks like very, very quickly. And then they're able to make more of a decision about whether it actually, you know, is this a good idea? Is this not a good idea? Is this what I really, really want? And you're able to, I mean, a lot of our job is communicating with our clients about the different ideas that we're negotiating between us. And I think being able to actually visualize that and show that very, very quickly is a huge step to how we're going to be developing with AI. And I think clients are very, very excited about it. I think they're also looking towards us for kind of our expertise in terms of how to navigate AI. You were talking about this earlier, Alison, in terms of we obviously are the experts and the professionals in this field. And we are definitely looking towards AI for help with these processes in terms of like content creation or insights gathering or reporting. And clients want in on the conversation. And I think the best that we can do is bring them in, be very transparent with them about it, and show them how we are engaging with these tools and what benefits it can bring them. So there's definitely like a knowledge exchange that's happening there, where we are adding to our roster of kind of things that we are sharing with them in terms of knowledge and insights. We're adding AI to that category there.
Great. Okay, I'm going to look to the future now, really. I mean, where do you think that your businesses will be 1 year from now? I know maybe predictions around things like this are a fool's game, but what the hell? It's just interesting to see how much things have changed, and, you know, since we last spoke almost a year ago. I mean, what do you think we'll be 12 months from now?
Yeah, it is really funny to think that we were here almost a year ago talking about how generative AI struggled to draw hands. But that was the big thing at the time. And only a few weeks ago now, Sora reset expectations again on what's possible with use of AI in the creative fields. So no, I'm not sure it's possible to say, you know, exactly where we'll be with AI in 1 year from now with the agency, because I don't think we can really predict where AI will be in 1 year from now. But I do think there are some really fascinating things coming around the bend. You know, there's things like cognitive AI, a lot more that's going to come with prediction, particularly as we've started building and amassing these data streams. I'm really excited to think about what we'll probably have achieved in the next 12 months. And, you know, Natasha, you were sort of saying this before, but for those of us who are leading the adoption of these technologies in our businesses or helping our clients do the same, I think the same underlying tasks remain, which is really starting with the problem that we're looking to solve, breaking apart the processes that underpin that, because we need to understand the process to understand where and how we can augment people with technology, whether that's AI or something else, to improve the work that our people are doing. I think that challenge isn't going to change. That will still be here a year from now.
I echo a lot of what you just said there, Alison. I think it's very difficult to say where businesses and agencies are going to be 1 year from now, for example, with AI, because it's such a huge platform that is moving constantly. The technology is so unpredictable. It's so dependent on a lot of external factors and influences. And I think until we get a better grasp of where the technology is going and how it's going to be applicable to us, then we could get a better idea of where we're going to be in that time. But until then, it's very, very difficult. But what I can say is that I think that we'll be operating way more efficiently. We'll be able to automate a lot of tasks that, as you said, are very run-of-the-mill for us and will never change. And I think we'll be producing a lot of great work. I think one of the things with AI is that it shortens the amount of time it takes to develop something, which just gives us more time to create more more great kind of campaigns and great work. So I'm very, very excited by that prospect. But then I also think that I hope we'll be way more knowledgeable about AI. And I think that there's a very big awareness campaign that's to be done within the industry and within agencies themselves on making sure that everybody is equipped with the knowledge to know that these are the benefits of AI, but also these are the risks. And these are the things that we need to be careful and conscious of. Because I think without that, you can't really produce the amazing work that you want to produce, because you have to understand what those operational risks are and what those caveats are and how to use the tool safely. So yeah, I hope we're very much more knowledgeable about that.
Yeah, I bet. And on that upbeat, hopeful note, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much to Alison and Natasha for sharing your thoughts and insights. I thought it was really, really interesting, and I'm sure we'll come back to this and maybe 12 months from now we'll see where we are.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you. Before we go, I'd like to plug, if I may, the PR Week UK Awards. That's our biggest awards event of the year, so don't miss out. Get your entries in today. The information you can find on the PR Week homepage under events. And if you've enjoyed today's episode, we'd also love it if you could leave a review, please, wherever you access PR Week's podcast. Beyond the Noise goes live every 2 weeks, but look out for our shorter news-focused podcast, Noise in Brief, which comes out next week. Thank you for listening. Until next time, goodbye.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.